choir for reminding us how much we have to be thankful for as we dismiss our children at Children's Church, those fifth grade and below. Ask you to find your Bibles, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Is it something how we have so much to be thankful for? And maybe I'm just speaking of myself, but too often, instead of saying thank you, I gripe and grumble about what I don't have. We need to remember. And that's what today's message, it's my prayer, will encourage us to do, is remember exactly what we have been blessed with, exactly what God has instructed for us to do. So I'm going to ask you to stand and honor reading God's Word. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17, they read like this. Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were called also in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, as we go through this morning's message, that you'd hide me behind the cross. May it be you and you alone, the one that's seen and one that's heard this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, that the preparation and the presentation is honoring and glorifying to your name. Father, if there's one here under the sound of my voice that does not know your Son, Jesus, as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray, Lord, as your word says, today is the day of salvation, that they would make that move, take that step of faith to trust in you. May your name be honored and glorified in everything that's said. May we look at your word with integrity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me ask you a statement. How many of you know or recognize these three words? Stress, struggle, and strife. We all recognize those three words. And oftentimes that's what our lives are filled with. Stress, struggle, and strife. We have all these things going on and taking place in our lives. All these things grasping for our attention. All these things in our life, stress, struggle, and strife, that want for us to be distracted and take us down a different path other than where God wants us to be. Other than exactly in the middle of His presence. You see, the most important thing that we can do at any given time, at any given moment throughout the day, is be on our knees at the feet of Jesus. In awe and in worship of Him and who He is and what He's done and how much He loves you and loves me. But those three words, stress, struggle, and strife, they break us down. And they spread us out. And they cause for us to miss exactly all the things that we have to be thankful for. In the middle of these things, though, if we'll just pay attention, if we'll just look, we'll find those many different blessings that we have to be thankful for. As I shared with you earlier, this week is going to be the feast day on Thursday, you might say. It's a day that we all look forward to. We get all those specialties that we enjoy eating, the turkey and the ham and the dressing and all that. Or maybe you've already had it, or maybe you know for the next month and a half you're going to be eating it. I don't know, whatever attitude you may have. But our nation has set aside by Abraham Lincoln several years ago the day of Thanksgiving to remember every year Thanksgiving. But as Christians, I want to share with us, and I want us not to forget as we look at these scriptures this morning, And we have much to be thankful for, a lot more than just Thanksgiving Day. We have so much that we can be thankful for and that should be thankful for. I don't know if you have a Facebook account, but if you look up on the Facebook account, there's many people who, and it's a wonderful thing, they're naming the things that they're thankful for. The events in their lives, the things that what God has supplied them with and all that God has given them, the things that they'll be thankful for. But as I look at that, even in my own life, as I consider that, you know, then comes Black Friday. And we forget what we're thankful for, and our thankfulness turns into, I'm going to beat that person to point Z so I can get that at a reduced rate. And we forget to be thankful and be courteous and have those attitudes. As we look at these scriptures, it kind of breaks down. It doesn't give us all nine, as Galatians 5 does, but it gives us some of the fruit of the Spirit. And the actions and the reactions that we're called to have when we are thankful. You see, too often we say that we're thankful, but we neglect to live it as if we're thankful. We quickly say we're thankful, but do our actions truly reveal that we are thankful for who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for you? Do our actions, our words, our everything reveal an attitude of thanksgiving? So as we look at the scriptures this morning, I want us to pay close attention to the instructions that are given to us from the Bible. And you're filling the blanks this morning. I'm going to ask the question, what is thanksgiving and what should it be? Number one, and you're filling the blank, thanksgiving is a duty. Thanksgiving is a duty. Now this may seem like an odd statement, but being thankful is not the television where you cut it on and off on occasion. Too often, even as Christians, we walk and live our lives and we have this on-off switch. I'm thankful for this. I'm not thankful for that, because that is a stress or a struggle or a strife that I'm having to go through. And God, I just really don't enjoy it at this moment, at this time. But as we look at scriptures and we see what is revealed to us, we need to have a constant attitude and a constant heart change of being thankful in the middle of stress, strife, and struggle. But we often overlook exactly that pleasure that God gives us of being thankful. As we look at these scriptures, you may ask, well, how is my thankfulness, how is thanksgiving a duty? So the first thing we see here in our verse of scriptures that we read, in verse 12, it says, it's Paul made the statement, therefore. Or your version of scripture may say, put on then. Or it may say, so. All of these are referencing that we should look back to see what Paul has just said. So as we look back, we see in chapter 3, verse 5, that Paul said, therefore, put to death what belongs to your worldly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Here we also see, therefore. So as we continue to look back to see what Paul is... Now, there's verses in between, I know, but I got a point to this. As we continue to look back, I'm going to go to verse 1. As we see in these scriptures, it says, so, if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. This is where we find the duty factor. Because it gives us explicit instructions for us to seek the things above, not the earthly things, not the things of this world, not the things that we have in front of us on a daily basis in our workplaces, in our home places, at Walmart, or wherever you may go shopping. We need to be thankful in each and every step and walk of our life. So it says this, as I read to you a moment ago, so if you have been raised, see that word, if you have been raised. So if you have been raised with the Messiah, if you have surrendered to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have been saved, ask yourself the question, am I seeking the things above? Or am I seeking worldly things? Because things of this world are temporary and they will pass away. But Jesus is forever and ever and ever. He's the same today, yesterday, and He will be the same tomorrow. In our lives, in our walk, in our thankfulness, what are we looking to? What are we pursuing after? Either things above of spiritual nature, of following Christ, or things of this world that are temporary and will pass away. The answer is one or the other, because you can't have both. You have to be surrendered to Christ, or you're not. And see, there's much for us to be thankful for in all that He's done and all He's accomplished. You may ask, well, why in the world are you saying this? What does this have to do with duty? It has something to do with this right here. Now pay attention to our attitudes. Because what's the number one primary goal that we've been instructed to do? Grow God's kingdom. Paige, can I borrow a pen? Thank you. Amen, brother. If I asked her again, you know what she'd probably say? No way. I know she would. I know her pretty well. But if I say, Paige, can I borrow a pen? Thank you, dear. Exactly. Exactly. It's all about attitude in the gym. And if we represent Jesus in a bad manner, do you think anybody's going to come to go to Jesus Christ as Savior? No. If we neglect our duties, what's going to happen? The world's going to say, I don't want to have a part because they're no different from me. And that's exactly what we're going to see all these scriptures are looking at. It's taking off the old and putting on the new. She said, can I have my pen back? It doesn't do us good any good either if we borrow something and don't return it. Because what attitude is someone going to have if you borrowed something from Johnny, they don't know Christ as Savior, and then you don't return it, that Christian down the road borrowed this from me 20 years ago, and he ain't returned it yet. No wonder he's not set foot in the door of the church, because you weren't very Christ-like. And guess what? We could all raise our hands because we're all guilty of it. We need to ask forgiveness of Johnny. We need to ask forgiveness from God. And we need to get our act in order. Thanksgiving is a duty. Thanksgiving is something and we should be living in the matter and not forgetting and neglecting who we represent each and every day of our life. What is Thanksgiving and what should it be? Number two, in the fill in the blank, Thanksgiving is a privilege. Thanksgiving is a privilege. But here's the kicker. It's not because of something that you've done or something that you deserve. Not at all. Thanksgiving is a privilege because God loved us enough to send His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the penalty that we could not pay. He was buried and He had victory over death, hell, and grave. 3 days later when He arose, and He gave us victory. When we surrender to Him, we should consider ourselves privileged to have the opportunity to be thankful. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, 40 Days of Purpose, may ring a bell to you. The very first words state this, it's not about you. Too often, that's exactly how we live our lives each and every day. It's about me. It's about me. Life is about me. How does this affect me? How is this going to interrupt me? How is this going to be involved with me? When our focus should be, how am I being a representative of who Jesus is and what He's done, what He has given, and all of His love that He shared and revealed to you and proved to you, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, paying it all upon the cross. We must take seriously the instructions to love others. Why? Why do we need to pay attention to this? Because we've been instructed. In Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, the power of God will take place. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. We've taken off the old. We've put on the new. If you read these verses of scriptures in Colossians, you'll see time and time again it says put away or put on. Put off or put on. It's talking about the same thing. It's a change of clothes. A change of scenery. A change in the lifestyle in which you live. A change in who you are living for. So ask yourself the question this morning, who am I living for? And when I'm living, am I thankful for what God has provided? The instructions that He has given to me. The entire narrative of this scripture is about what God has done for us. And the instructions that are given to us are sharing that we need to look different. Taking off the old, putting on the new. You'll hear that multiple times because that's how the world recognizes we're changed. We've become Christ-like instead of world-like. Mark Twain says this, clothes make the person. Clothes make the person. Dress for success is still common in our society today. The fact is, most of us, if not all of us, give a tremendous amount of time and energy to making sure that we're dressed for success. That we present ourselves properly when we go to our workplaces. We want to make sure we represent them well because they're who pays the bills. They're who puts food on the table, we think. By the way, God's the one to give you the job. And we need to represent Him and represent Him well. So dress for success is something that's very common. But let me share this with you. There's a huge problem in dressing because you see styles change and they change rapidly. Now, not everybody will know some of the things I'm talking about, but some of you will. I'm going to go from generation to generation. Maybe I won't miss none. But zoot suits. Some of you may remember zoot suits. Especially some of our elder generation. Leather jackets and t-shirts as we proceed forward. Bell-bottom pants. If Kim Porch was here, he'd share with you his bell-bottom pants story. He still got them because they're going to come back in style, he says. Bouffant hair. Mullet haircut. By the way, I made it look great. It's not that funny. Wait, that wasn't supposed to be a joke. And yes, holy jeans. We pay more today for jeans with holes in them than we do with an entire pair of jeans without holes in them. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with generational things. There's nothing wrong with the clothes that we wear as long as we're modest and presentable. But what's underneath it all? The clothing that we put on for Christ, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's the difference that we're called to have. That's the privilege we're called to represent. We may look different, act different. We may be thinking that our clothing style or haircuts are going to come back in style. They may or may not. Sometimes it seems like history repeats itself. But one thing that remains the same, it's good news for Christians. You see, in the first century, the very same thing takes place in this century. Clothing that is appropriate, always in season. That clothing is love, peace, thanksgiving, and Jesus, which is His Word. It's appropriate no matter what generation you're from and in. First century, put on that clothing as well. And that's what Paul's talking about here in these verses of Scriptures. Taking off the old way of life, the worldly way of life, and putting on the new and following Christ and being what He's called for us to be and to do. How does this relate to privilege and culture? Because you see, some of these very same clothing articles that we talked about, you go to a different culture, another part of the world. It may be appropriate and fine here, but it may be offensive. They don't like it somewhere else. But one thing remains the same. Love, peace, thanksgiving, and Jesus, they're always appropriate. They're always relevant, no matter where we are and what culture and where we're at. And we need to be thankful for that, but we also need to represent that before people that needs to hear that Jesus loves them and He gave His life for them. So listen to this as we recap the first verses of Colossians chapter 3, and I think it will help you get the big picture of taking off the old and putting on the new. Listen to what it says. Paul began in Colossians 3 by saying, "We are free in Christ, so seek things from above," verse 1. "And set our minds on things above, not earthly things," verse 3. "How is this possible," you may ask? "We have been raised with Christ in the past," verse 1. "We are hidden in Christ in the present," verse 3. "And we will appear with Him in glory in the future," verse 4. You see, God's saying, changed your clothing, you're now a child of God. By the way, my love does not go out of style. It remains forevermore. Colossians 3, 5 through 7. "Therefore, put to death what belongs to your worldly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Verse 6, because of these, God's wrath comes on the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. And put away or put off," verses 8 and 9, "the old way of life." Colossians 3 and 9 says this, "But now you must also put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and yes, filthy language from your mouth." Verse 9, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices. And we are to put on," verse 10, "those things that characterize our new self in Christ." Colossians 3:10, "And have put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator." The one you represent to a world that needs to know there's hope found in Jesus. We are new creations with new morals, which is love, with a new heart, which is peace, with a new attitude, which is thanksgiving, with a new devotion, which is Jesus Christ and His Word. All of this is your privilege. It should be the main focus of any culture, of any life, no matter what you wear. Let me ask you a question. Is that your lifestyle? The answer is yes or no. There's no middle road. The answer is yes or no. Take off the old. Put on the new. Trust in Christ. Number 3, and you fill in the blank. What is thanksgiving and what should it be? Thanksgiving should be continuous. You see, we've come full circle now. I talked to you about the beginning, how thanksgiving and the attitude of thanksgiving should always take place. It bookends. Thanksgiving is continuous. Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." What does this have to do with continuous thanksgiving, you might ask? In this verse of Scripture, Paul concludes how we are to do all things in Christ. We are to serve Christ. Why? To grow God's kingdom. Why? To see people there. Why? Because you've been commanded to. Why? Because God loves them just as much as He loves you. Just as much as the impact He's made in your life, He wants to make in the lives of others. And He blessed us to be a part of history, a part of His story. to making an impact today, your generation, in the time in which you now live, no matter what clothes you wear, put on Christ. Let Him live in and through you. Let Him be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that He already is. How do we do this? We do this by remembering what we're thankful for. You know, I've been thinking this last week through just different things, not just one thing, but different things. And I've had conversations with people, and this thought just kept running back across my mind time and time again. How many of us as Christians have ever felt like we've lost the feeling of who Christ is? And we have a heart's desire to get back into a closer fellowship and relationship with Him. But it seems like time and time again, we miss the mark. We miss the point. We miss where we need to be. Let me tell you, this is what's relevant in Greg's life. When I get in that position, it's because I've not stopped and thought and told God, thank you. When I'm unthankful and ungrateful, that causes that feeling, that emotion, that presence of God to go astray. Not because He's left, but because I've left. How many of you have ever watched the TV show Happy Days? Wade kind of looks like Fonzie, doesn't he? Got that slick hair. But it was on from 1974 to 1984. And it's been a while, but I remember watching a Thanksgiving episode of Happy Days. And Fonzie prayed the Thanksgiving prayer. And at that moment, it was short and sweet, but it convicted me. His prayer was this: God, thanks. How many of us have gotten caught up in the stress and strife, struggle? We want that close fellowship with God. We want to walk with Him. We know what He's done for us. But still, a long life's way, we've allowed, here's what's happened, Satan to steal our joy. And all we want to do is gripe and complain instead of saying, God, thanks. We're not going to have a raise of hands. But I don't think there's a person in this room that couldn't raise their hand and say, I've overlooked my Creator too often that I care to admit. And there's only one thing we can do to make things right. That's repent and come home. That's trust in Him. You say, well, how can I do this? How can I make that happen? It's something like this. You and I, we need to dwell on God's Word. We need to let it speak to us. When I was a machinist, there's a command, G code command, G4. The command, it was telling it to dwell. So I could say in a program, G4P2000, whatever. And that meant that machine, the spindle would keep turning. Remember, when it got to that point, it was going to stop and it was going to sit there. Nothing's going to move for 2 seconds. Why would I do this? Well, you see, a lot of times in life, a lot of times in machining, stuff builds up and the tool needs to get rid of all the tool pressure where it may have angled away or it may have done some things and it needed to clean up the bottom of a hole or whatever the case may be, but it needed to remove the excess. You see, Christians, the same thing happens in our life. We need to dwell for just a moment to let God's Word sink in so we'll know what steps to take and which direction to go in. But let me share with you this. We can never say, well, God must, Greg's, the pastor's done said that we need to just dwell on it and then sit and be still. Because let me tell you something, that very same G4 machining, if you let it sit too long, you'd get yourself into trouble. Why? It starts to vibrate. And if it started to vibrate, it's called chatter. And chatter, just about 99 times out of 100, is very difficult to remove anyhow. And if it cannot be removed, you might as well consider the part useless. It's scrapped, it's dead, it can no longer be used. Why? Because the customer doesn't want it that way. And the customer's always right. Let me just share something with you. If we sit and dwell, as you heard me say on our blessed assurance, too often, and just sit there and not move in obedience to God, we're going to miss the mark of what God wants for us to do. Yes, dwell in Him. Allow Him to dwell in you. But that doesn't mean be still. That means be active. That means be going. That means be sharing your faith, your testimony. Why? Because you've been commanded to. Why? Because you're thankful for what He's done for you. Why? Because there's a world dying and headed for hell, and it may just be your responsibility to share with your neighbor. So dwell in the moment, yes. Be filled, be enriched, be encouraged, feel like you're being ready. But when you get to that mark, when you get to that point, go. Don't stop. Go. Go. The very command, the very instruction that you've been given. Go. Yes. Be still and know that He is God and take it all in. But no, don't stay there. Get up. As long as you have breath in you, God has a plan for you. Do it. Just do it. Be exactly what He's called for you to be and to do. As we get ready for a song of invitation, I want to ask you a question. Christians, how much have you got to be thankful for? How much have you got to be thankful for? Christians, take God's word in and be thankful for what He's done. And listen, let others see Jesus in you. Because they're looking. They're looking. So if you're here this morning and you've not surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you may say, how can I have this fellowship, this relationship? I've done and been involved in all of this. I'll tell you something, your pastor, Greg Mall, has too. But the Bible says in Romans 10:9-10 that if we confess with the mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God is raising from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart, man believes in the righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's a free gift there for the taking. Don't pass it by. Don't let it pass you by. Get up. Let go. And let God. Christian, if you're here this morning and there's none here that does not have that strife, that struggle, that stress, come to Him. Let Him have control. Let go and let God. Won't you come? As we stand, as we sing with Him or listen.